May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 23. A man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran, in hands and feet and side. Hymn number 23.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God, we'll read together the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth a hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. And may God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we come before thee now in prayer, seeking thy gracious favour and thy blessing as we gather here today for worship. We thank thee, dear Lord, for this opportunity to gather once again around thy word. And we thank thee, Lord, for this returning day of rest, And we thank thee, Lord, that we can meet together here in peace and safety. And we praise thee and seek to worship and praise thy great and holy name. Lord, we come to worship thee. Lord, thou knowest we need thy help in our worship here. Lord, we cannot worship thee aright, except thou dost bless us with thy gracious help and thy presence. Lord, we pray that our hearts may truly be found before thee this morning with that desire to praise and to worship thee. And Lord, if our hearts are in such a case, then we will then be in our right place before thee as sinners. We pray then that we may be brought humbly to thy feet, that we may, Lord, have those sinful inclinations of our hearts subdued, that any pride and other sins of presumption, Lord, or higher thoughts of ourselves, Lord, which are not right, we pray that each of these things may be removed from us, and that we may truly come with a humble and a contrite heart. Lord, we pray for thy gracious influence here this day. Lord, we pray that we may truly enter into the things that we've sung in our opening hymn. And that this day, that dear Saviour of sinners, that glorious man, the man Christ Jesus, might be revealed to us by faith, and that we may truly know something of his person and work. Lord, we pray that thou reveal thyself to us each personally as our Saviour and our friend. Lord, deliver us from that sin of unbelief. Grant us, Lord, that childlike faith. Oh, may we be found truly receiving. May there be those, Lord, that are blessed, Lord, with that knowledge of something of their sinnership and guilt and condemnation in their hearts through their sin. And Lord, may there be, we pray, many going out after thee in their desire for that forgiveness and for that mercy which is to be found in Jesus Christ. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there may be venturing sinners here this day, that those that have come up to the house of the Lord seeking after thee, those whose hearts are longing that one thing needful, a desire in their heart to know him whom to know is life eternal. Grant us then that we pray, as we meet around thy word, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that he may be poured out abundantly here today into our hearts and into this place, that he may order all things rightly, that he may take of the things of Jesus and reveal them to us, that he may give the word the power and the unction and direct it and apply it to the benefit of many souls. Lord, we do pray that that thy great and holy name might be honoured and glorified in our worship here today. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for the many blessings that are ours. Lord, may we not be complacent. May we not take things for granted. We have thy word, the complete word of God in our own language, and we have it so readily and freely available. Lord, we pray that it may be treasured up in our hearts, that thy word may prove to each one of us to be a living word, a word that we can live on, a word, Lord, which thou art pleased to bless to us from time to time, and a word that we can trust and hope in. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt speak through thy word, and may it find that abiding place in our hearts. May we be careful, prayerful hearers. Help us to be hearers and doers of the word, that we may be brought to act upon thy word, to follow thy commands, to be obedient unto thee and to the word of thy grace. Lord, we pray for that enabling grace to be given, and that there may be many constrained by thy love to take up their cross and to follow thee. Lord, thy commandments are not grievous. We do pray, Lord, that thou grant us that love of Christ poured out in great measure into our hearts. Lord, we pray for each who are gathered here, and we pray for those unable to be here. Thou knowest, Lord, where they are, and Lord, what detains them. And we pray, Lord, that if it's affliction, thy healing, restoring hand might be upon them. And we pray that thou make all their bed in their afflictions, and that thou go right where they are and meet their needs in their body and soul this day. Lord, thou knowest all about us each. Our lives are open before thee. Nothing is secret with thee. All things are open before him whom we have to do. Oh, may we truly understand these things. May we know the great blessing it is to be under the all-seeing eye of a heavenly Father. Lord, may that sense, that awareness of it be blessed to us each. Lord, that we might seek to live our lives rightly before thee. Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, thou seest all things. Lord, thou seest us as other men do not see us. For a man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Oh, then, Lord, may our wishes, our desires, our ambitions be right in thy sight. Lord, may we know that change of heart. May we be able to look back and trace it out. May there be those here this morning who are desiring and longing for that work of grace. Oh, that we may know that being born again of the Spirit of God, know that change within, our desires, our ambitions, our appetite, no longer for the sins and pleasures of this world, but may we be as Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do help us then, we humbly pray. Lord, we confess our baseness, our sinfulness. Lord, we are of the earth, earthy by nature. Lord, we have the seeds of sin and corruption within. We confess, Lord, our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. We thank thee for that heavenly provision, the glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how suitable, how blessed, how sweet he is to poor, needy sinners whose lives are undone through sin. What a refuge it is in him. Lord, may we each be found sheltering in that cleft of the rock. May the blood of Christ be our only plea. And Lord, may that blood be all prevailing for us. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so, Lord, do remember us each for good. Remember us, Lord, in our daily lives. Lord, thou knowest what we have at present, what we have before us. We pray, Lord, that thou be with any who have difficulties, troubles of one sort or another. Lord, be with those who have sat exams and are now waiting for results. And those, Lord, who have choices and decisions before them in their lives. May thy guiding hand be upon them each. May our young children and people be found seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, committing their way unto the Lord, trusting also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Lord, thou knowest the end of the thing from the beginning. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt guide and direct us each in that right way. We thank thee, Lord, for the many blessings that are ours. We have food, clothing, homes to live in. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for these things. And we do thank thee, Lord, for the little ones, the babes, Lord, those in arms. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for these precious gifts. And Lord, we do pray that each of the children may be thy children. Lord, we pray that thy hand might be upon the young and rising generation. And Lord, that they may be kept ever attending the house of God. Lord, may they not be left to wander off into the world of sin that lies around. But may their desires be toward thee and toward thy house. Lord, so help us each. Bless parents, be with them, guide them, direct them in bringing up children. Lord, we need so much help and grace and strength in the dealings we have. Lord, who is sufficient for these things? But when there are so many things around us, so many opportunities to sin, Lord, we pray that thou wilt supply all that we need. We lack so many things by nature. Grant us that real, true wisdom that can only come from thee. We thank thee for that word. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so we come, Lord, with our many petitions, our many desires. Oh, Lord, we come to thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant according to thy will those things which are for thy honour and glory, those things which are truly needful for us. Lord, may everything else be taken from us, Lord. Grant us that grace to submit to thy will and thy wisdom in these things. Lord, who help us in our worship here. Oh, we pray, Lord, that everything of thee may remain, and everything, Lord, not of thee forgotten. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt forgive us all that is wrong in our worship. Lord, all the many failings in our prayer, things we fail to ask for, things we need, Lord, that we do not see we need. Lord, may thy mercy and thy grace be all prevailing. And Lord, do make up in giving where we have failed to ask. Do forgive us, Lord, our every sin. Wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take away all our iniquities and receive us graciously. We ask, Lord Jesus, in thy name. Amen.
Hymn number 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
Thank you.
turn with me to Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. With the Lord's help, this morning I'll speak to you from verse 20. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 20. The second part of the verse really is what is on my mind to concentrate on this morning. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In my thoughts concerning what to read in our reading this morning, I was really torn between reading Romans chapter 5 and the chapter we did read, Acts chapter 26. I felt it right to read Acts 26, for there we have the record of the testimony of the call by grace of the Apostle Paul, the writer of this letter. But because we didn't read Romans 5, I would encourage you to, in your own time this afternoon, to read it. It is a most beautiful chapter. And in it we have really set before us sin and death coming by reason of Adam and Adam's fall. And then we have the second Adam, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and righteousness and life coming by him, our Lord Jesus Christ. But in our verse this morning, it begins, moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. And we have this word abound or abounded three times in this verse. The offence might abound, sin abounded, and grace did much more abound. And what does that word abound mean? Well, it exists. Moreover, the Lord entered that the offence might exist in large numbers or in a large amount. If something is abounding, it's existing in a large quantity. It's in large in numbers or in volume. It's abounding. And obviously, abounded being the past tense. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. And here we have a mention of the law. And I hope you all know what is meant by this. It's the moral law given firstly to Moses on Mount Sinai, but it goes actually further back than that. It is the commands and the moral law given
by God to Adam. It is those things which are given to us that instruct us, teach us, show us, tell us what is not acceptable, what is acceptable. And you younger ones, you know, we have all sorts of rules and regulations. We have laws. We have laws in our country. Our legal system is full of various laws. Books and books of legal documents which show to the reader what is acceptable, what isn't acceptable. And those things that aren't acceptable are offences, aren't they? Now, I was thinking, you know, even in just recent days, we've had, recent months, we've had changes to some of the regulations concerning driving. If you drive on the road in our country, there are laws that govern the way we should drive. Now, we've had some added to our laws recently, some regarding what you should wear on your feet when you're driving. Although it's the duty of us, if we're to drive, it's our duty to understand what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. Until recently, you could drive your car wearing flip-flops. It was dangerous, but it wasn't unlawful. But now the law has changed. It's been added into the codes for the practices of driving, and it's now not permitted. And so the law has had things added to it, and what was dangerous but not unlawful is now both dangerous and unlawful. And if a year ago we drove our car wearing flip-flops, it was dangerous, but we weren't breaking the law. But now we know it's now unlawful. And we would break the law if we were to wear unsuitable footwear. Well, the law entered that the offence might abound, the offence might exist. The behaviour was already wrong, but the law came to reveal that behaviour as being an offence. And God has been pleased to reveal to mankind in the law, in his moral law, what is offensive in his sight, what is an offence to him, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. The offence, the law entered that the offence might exist, might be revealed and might be seen, and that it was existing in large numbers or in a large quantity. And oh, may we never be guilty of dismissing as those that are living in the day of the gospel. May we not lose sight of God's holy law. May we not lose sight of the law of God, what is good and acceptable in his sight. May we not use the gospel as a cloak, as a covering to carry on in a life of sin, because we're now in a day of grace and we now have the gospel of Jesus Christ. The law has its purpose. That the law has its purpose, and may we not be unmindful of the law. May we not neglect the reading of the whole of the Word of God. Paul says it right into the Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That the law has this use, that it reveals what is not acceptable to God. And that is the work of the law. And you and I, that the Lord might might enter in. It's entered into the world, it's entered into the knowledge of man. But may it enter in to us each personally. May the Lord be pleased to reveal his law to us personally. That there may not be an excuse on our part, or we might seek to make an excuse in the sight of God. Because ignorance is no defence concerning the law. If I break the speed limit because I didn't know the speed limit on a certain road, if I broke that, but I was ignorant of it, I had no knowledge of the correct speed, doesn't take away in any way, does it, the fact that I broke the speed limit. It might be a mitigating circumstance. It may get me some lenience before an earthly judge, but it doesn't take away the offence, the fact I didn't know about it. I've still broken the law. Oh, may we see the law for what it is. Oh, may the Lord so apply the law to us each to reveal something of what is within us, to show us our sins, that we may be convinced of our sinnership, that we may have that delusion broken, that we're better than we really are. That we may have some true knowledge of what we are in the sight of God. Sinners. Without exception, every one of us in this chapel, and those that may be listening, without exception, we are all sinners. All sinners. Some here and some listening may know it, may know something of it. Some here and some listening may as yet not know it. You may hear it, but do you really know it? Oh, that the law might be applied. It might enter. But it will only go so far. And it can only do so much. And all it can do is convince you and convict you. All it can do is show you what you are and what you've done. It stops there. There's no remedy in the law. There's only the knowledge of our failing. There is no solution, that there is no answer to the problem, that there is no remedy, that there is no hope. In the law, there's no hope. The law speaks of what is expected and what is acceptable. And as we read it and we measure ourselves and grace given and the Lord's help given, we measure ourselves and he reveals to us as we measure our lives against the standard in the Word of God, there will be revealed our many failings. And that this second part of our verse will be made known, that sin is abounding or abounded. Paul says, but where sin abounded, sin is abounding. Sin is existing in vast quantities and numbers in our lives. The law entered that the offence might abound, might exist. Where sin abounded, Paul says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it brings us back to our reading, and it brings us back to Paul and his testimony of the mercy of God in his life. We read, didn't we, that he in some ways was a very was a unique case in both his before conversion and after, because there were many Jews dismissed the Lord Jesus Christ and would have nothing to do with him, and in their hearts was hatred toward him and toward his followers, his disciples. But Paul was unique, or certainly one of not many who went to such an extent. He had such a zeal. He says out of his own lips that he was a Pharisee before his conversion. He was a Pharisee, and oh, the zeal he had in his upbringing as a Hebrew, as a Jew. Yeah, there seemed to be nothing, so zealous he was to serve God as a Jew. This is a most strange thing in one sense, that he was his heart was a love to God. A love to God, but on the other hand, before his conversion, a hatred of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, these things are astonishing, aren't they? And he said, didn't he, that I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I thought with myself, I was determined to do things that were contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, beloved friends, if the Apostle Paul was here this morning, he could truly sing, couldn't he, that second hymn? Well, the first hymn and the second hymn. All the hymns. But really, oh, that second hymn, couldn't he sing this? When you think of what Paul was before, he said, I punished, I shut up in prison, having received authority by the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Not against the ones that put them to death, but against the ones that were put to death. And you think of how he stood and watched and was consenting in total agreement at the stoning of Stephen. Oh, the place where Paul or Saul was. And he says this, I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. These things are I hope they have an effect on us as we read them. You know, this is what Paul is saying. What he's speaking of, he's trying to show to King Agrippa and to Festus and to us as the readers of this, it is in the Word of God to show us where this man was before the grace of God abounded, existed in his heart. But he thought he was right. He thought he was doing the will of God. He thought he was doing those things which pleased God. He was ignorant, but he was still an offender, though ignorant of these things. And then that, he said, I was exceeding mad against them and persecuting them. And then he gives us that well-known account of the meeting on the road to Damascus. That great light shining from heaven. And then the Lord Jesus speaking to him. Saul, Saul, his Hebrew name. Paul isn't his name after conversion. Paul is the Roman name. Saul is the Hebrew name. The same name, Saul, Paul. But in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? All of these things you've been doing are against me. You've touched my anointed, my chosen people, my loved people. You've touched the apple of mine eye, Saul. Those things you've done against them are against me. Why persecutest thou me? And then we find Paul shares with us that there was a purpose. This zealous Pharisee who was persecuting even unto death the Lord's followers, the Lord's chosen people, he was then to be used mightily in the hands of God to bring many to the Lord Jesus. He was to be an outward example in the day he lived and in the generations to follow who would read the New Testament. He was to witness what the grace of God can give. And he said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, and to a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. And he says that the effect of his witnessing and his ministry and his writings of the epistles would be to the open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me, which is a faith which is in Jesus Christ. And Paul went with greater zeal, with the love of Christ in his heart, as a man whose sins had been washed away in that precious blood of Jesus, who had a sense in his heart both of guilt and condemnation, and then the sweet and precious release from it through the mercy of God shown to him in revealing him, revealing Christ Jesus to him as his Saviour and as his friend. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says in 1st Epistle, chapter 1 of Timothy, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded in this world, the grace of God did much more abound in sending forth Christ Jesus into this world. And by him, the gospel being made known and preached, the grace of God existing in vast quantities, outweighing that sin that was abounding in the world. This is the blessing of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God might be made known. And grace gives, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, you can think of it in the gospel sense, the gospel coming into the world. You can think of it concerning the Apostle Paul personally, who said that the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus to him personally. But the real thing, vital thing this morning is, what about you and I? What about you and I? Oh, that there might be this part of the verse might be said personally of each one of us before our dying day, but where sin abounded, where sin existed in great numbers and in great quantity, grace did much more abound or exist. Oh, that we might know this vital change, the calling by grace, the new birth, being born again of the Spirit of God, being made alive in the things of God, having not just our life changed, but our actual, our soul changed. Us being changed. Not just our life. Oh, we need, don't we, this cleansing from all our sin. Sin is abounding in our lives. It's dwelling in our hearts, but it's making itself evident in the things that we do, the things that we say, our actions and our thoughts. There's sin mixed with everything we do. It is existing in great numbers and in a great volume with each one of us. If it's not actual sinful things, it's the thought of them, which are still sin. Oh, that then, that great change, the washing of our lives, the cleansing of our sin, that it might be blotted out, it might be removed from our account, that it might be taken away from us, it might be washed away in that precious fountain that is opened in Jesus Christ, that the cross of Christ, where the sacrifice was made, the shedding of blood, the cleansing of the church of God throughout all ages. Oh, have you, dear friends, a part in it, and have I? And if you don't know it this morning, oh, is it that desire in your soul, in your heart, is it that desire this morning that you might know your part in this great cleansing of sin? To know the grace that much more abounds, the grace of God which gives. It gives what's not deserved. It gives what's not earned. Our sins, they deserve eternal punishment in hell. The wages of sin, the things that we earn through sin, it's death, it's eternal punishment. Mercy. Mercy spares. Mercy. The mercy of God. The mercy of God shown to Paul was that he deserved an eternity of punishment in hell. And that's what we deserve. And in the life of Paul, the mercy of God was made known to him. In that the things that he deserved were stopped. He would not receive it. The anger and wrath of God would not spend itself, would not be upon Paul. It was taken from Paul and directed to Jesus Christ. Mercy spared Paul. The mercy of God prevented the punishment that his sin deserved. And grace abounded in giving Paul what he didn't deserve. Oh, he had a saviour revealed to him, a loving heavenly friend, one who loved him beyond measure. Oh, that the grace of God made known to Paul that love, it filled Paul's heart with the love of God. And it drew out of Paul the grace of God. It gave Paul a heart that loved God in return. A heart that responded to the calling of the Word of God. A heart that responded in acting on the prompts of the Holy Spirit within, gave Paul a gift of the Holy Ghost, the indwelling Spirit of God in Paul. And it is true with every child of God. This grace that abounds in your heart and mine, in our souls, there's a sin that's abounding and dwelling there. And grace, oh, may the work of grace begin in your soul and mine, that it will be the grace of God that gives you the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And what will it be? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Divine life, God-given life in your soul, that though you may sin and go on to sin, you will, child of God, you will, until your dying day, yet you'll see grace abounding, overcoming grace. Grace overcoming your sinful inclinations. Grace enabling you to do those things which you cannot do through weakness and infirmity and through your own sinfulness. Yet Paul said, I can do all things. I can do all things. Oh, there was grace sufficient given. Grace sufficient given. And it is, oh, this great gift of grace. Grace in the heart. Grace which when active, when flowing, when moving in the heart, in the soul of a child of God, brings him to look one direction, to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Her eyes are taken away from all the dying things of this life and all the things that they might be missing out on and all the things that they're not able to enter in and do anymore. And grace makes that sinner look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. And looking to him, trusting in him, grace gives faith and a knowledge of the pardon and love of God, so much so that they can leave all these things. And what is written, it is true, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, may the Lord so bless us each personally with the knowledge of sin existing in our lives and in us in great numbers. But may grace the grace of God be given, and the secret love of God revealed to us, that we may see a superabounding grace of God dwelling in us, grace reigning, triumphant within us. We sang, didn't we? Christ is ready to receive you. See his bloody cross appear. From your sins he will relieve you and dissolve your every fear. Paul could sing that. Paul would tell you this morning something of that. The loving welcome for poor, guilty, wretched, needy sinners at the feet of Jesus. The grace of God, which as it were reaches out a loving hand and draws poor needy sinners to approach and to ask for that forgiveness and ask for that grace and ask for that love to be made known unto them. Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The grace of God abounding or existing toward the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. May God add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Parrish will address the Sunday School this afternoon at 2:30. Mr. Roland Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottingham will preach and address the Sunday School in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Our closing hymn is hymn 723, as on the hymn sheet which you have, with additional verses to what are in Gadsby's hymn book. Hymn 723. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. The hymn on the hymn sheet.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.